I want to start my sermon by singing a song that you might know, and if you know it, sing along, or learn it, as the case may be. It's by Bob Marley. Singing, don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be all right. Singing, don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be all right. Woke up this morning, smiled at the rising sun. Three little birds sat by my doorstep, singing sweet songs of melodies pure and true. Singing, this is my message to you. You probably got it by now. Singing, don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing is gonna be all right. Singing, don't worry about a thing, 'cause every little thing gonna be all right. And it kind of goes on from there, but you get the message. It's a fun song, right? Some of you knew that song, right? Some of you have heard it before, right? It's a good song. But here's my question for you. Do you believe it? Do you really believe that every little thing is going to be all right? And based on that belief, do you dare to hope that you might not have to worry about a thing? I'm guessing that for most of us, the answer is, I'm not so sure. After all, it's one thing to be optimistic, one thing to see the glass as half full, to plant an apple tree as a sapling in the sure and certain hope that one day you will have cider. But who are we kidding? The United States, the United Kingdom, and France just sent missiles into Syria on the off chance, I suppose, that this time our explosives can do what no previous bombing ever has done, that is, make a positive difference in the Middle East. And I rather suspect I'm not the only person who worries that this grand failure of Twitter diplomacy is just a way of distracting us from strange scandals involving porn stars and playmates and a rumored love child, a damaging dossier, and an election fixing by the very nation whose proxies, our proxies, currently are fighting in Syria, somewhere in the sands of the desert, while all around us reel the shadows of the indignant desert birds. So do we doubt that everything, every little thing is going to be all right? Do we doubt it? Probably we do. I do. Now, it's traditional on the Sunday after Easter to read and to consider the story of Thomas doubting, and the astute among this august congregation will no doubt observe that this is actually the second Sunday after Easter, and we should have talked about Thomas and his doubts last week. And you're right. But Talitha, who preached last week and now has the youth group in Tahoe this week, was kind enough to leave the doubt sermon to me because I like to preach on doubt. I'm someone who has a lot of doubts in my life, and over the course of more than 40 years of active doubting, I have come to believe that doubt is an important, if somewhat overlooked, part of faith. And I know that sounds odd. After all, one could be excused for thinking that doubt is the opposite of faith. But actually, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Doubt is perhaps the opposite of belief, but belief and faith are not the same thing. Faith is more akin to confidence. It's not so much believing in something as it is living as if something is true. So you can believe a bridge is designed by competent engineers and built by folks who knew what they were doing and made of solid materials. That's belief. But you don't have faith until you actually drive your car over the bridge that you believe to be strong. And I know from personal experience that you can drive your car over a bridge even if you have doubts about the people who built it or reservations about the quality of the materials underneath your tires. The great benefit of doubt is that it helps us to weed the malarkey out of our faith systems, whatever those faith systems may be, religious faith systems or philosophical faith systems or political faith systems or social faith systems, academic faith systems or whatever. The person who doubts is less likely to be conned or to pledge blind allegiance to hucksterism. The person who doubts, therefore, is less likely to be hurt by harmful religion. So three cheers for doubt. We need more doubt, not less. And I don't want to speak for anyone else, but to be perfectly honest with you, to communicate from my heart to yours and my soul to yours, I personally wish more Americans had displayed more doubt a couple of years ago, back when written in silkscreen across the crown of a trucker's cap, they saw a promise that a reality TV star could make America great again. A little doubt then would have been awesome. But here is what I hope and pray. I hope that all of us will have a healthy dose of doubt in our lives. But I also hope, and I also pray, that we never allow our doubts to become objects of idolatry. And here's what I mean by that. I had a professor in college, his name was Greg Spencer, and Professor Spencer used to say that an idol, a false god, is anything that we believe will save us, anything that is besides God. And my professor was and still is a proper evangelical, so his definition of God may be a bit more narrow than is mine and perhaps yours, but the principle remains a good one. If you think the wrong kinds of things will bring you salvation, money, power, happy pills, adventure, whatever, if you think something besides God will bring you salvation, then you are engaged in idolatry. And I would add, you probably need a little more doubt in your life. Although, the doubt by itself will not bring you salvation. The great 20th century preacher Harry Emerson Fosdick once said famously that we should doubt our doubts. And insofar as any of us believes doubts will save us, I would agree. It's one thing to reject the heinous tomfoolery that emanates from certain addresses on Pennsylvania Avenue or Wall Street or Madison Avenue or from high-tech campuses in places like Mountain View, Cupertino, and Menlo Park. But simply separating the wheat of truth from the chaff of greed and deceit, this does not mean that we have baked a loaf of bread. Doubt is good, but it's never enough. Jerry Garcia once serenaded us by reminding us, "I know the rent is in arrears. The dog has not been fed in years. It's even worse than it appears, but it's all right. Cows are giving kerosene. The kid can't read at 17, and the words he knows are all obscene, but it's all right. I will get by. I will get by. I will survive. The shoe is on the hand that fits. There's really nothing much to it. Whistle through your teeth and spit because it's all right. Oh, well, a touch of gray kind of suits you anyway. That's all I had to say. It's all right. I will get by. I will survive." There is a realistic hope to those words. But to get there, one must do more than simply doubt. Like Thomas in today's lesson from John, a person must touch the hands and feet of Christ, must take whatever shred of assurance is offered, and then have faith. And then, having put our hands in Jesus' hands, we must go out into the world not so much believing in the power of resurrection, but living as if the stories of Jesus' victory over death are true. And I don't know what such living will look like for you, but I hope it will involve a lot of joyful expression. Last night, the Oakland East Bay Gay Men's Chorus did a fantastic concert here in the sanctuary. And some of you were there. Some of you sang in it. It was wonderful, and the choir opened the concert by singing a setting of words spoken by Leonard Bernstein. "This will be our reply to violence, to make music more intensely, more beautifully, and more devotedly than ever before." Amen to that. That is faithful living. And it's not just music. In these days when our computers are drawing us into solitary lives of community based on social media, I hope your faithful living will be marked with great food shared with loved ones. In these days when politicians lead us forever into more warfare, I hope your life will be filled with peaceful resolution to conflict. At a time when we're being told to mistrust immigrants and Muslims and Jews, I hope you can attend a quinceañera and a bar mitzvah and an iftar meal. I hope you will learn to dance salsa, paint with oils, and attend local theater. Better yet, go audition for a role at your local theater. Go out and buy a Hawaiian shirt and accessorize it with a pair of old cowboy boots. Buy a good book from your locally owned independent bookseller and read it while sipping something bubbly. Live and love and laugh, because Lord knows there's no profit to be made in our deep joy. And for that reason, the politicos and purveyors of cheap thrills will never encourage us to live joyfully. Doubt anyone whose words might lead you astray, but then have faith. Touch the wounds of Christ and live as if the resurrection is a reality. Now, I started my sermon by singing a song by Bob Marley. And I'm going to end it by singing a song by Willie Nelson. And it's the song that we sang earlier is a short and repetitive song. This song is neither short nor particularly repetitive, which is why I need the words on that paper, which just flew to the floor. But it does have a chorus that you might learn. Actually, the words to the chorus are written in your bulletin. And the chorus goes something like this. Oh, whoops, hang on a second. See if that's better.
Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
You want to sing that with me?
Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the skies. And they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a home where my friends have gone. And they tell me of that land far away, where the tree of life in eternal bloom sheds its fragrance through the unclouded day.
Join me in the chorus.
Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, they tell me of a king in his beauty there. And they tell me that my eyes shall behold where he sits on the throne that is whiter than snow. In the city that is made of gold. Oh, the land of the cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an uncloudy day.
Final verse.
Oh, they tell me that he smiles on his children there, and his smile drives their sorrows away. And they tell me that no tears ever come again in that lovely land of unclouded day. Oh, the land of a cloudless day. Oh, the land of an unclouded sky. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day.
You may or you may not believe in such a heavenly vision. You and I both have our doubts. But until our eyes behold that great and glorious day, let us